This month on the show, our pop culture news.
We talk about the Dragon Prince.
Hot Frosty.
Lockwood & Co.
And fortune cookies.
Yeah.
I'm Evan.
I'm Liam.
I'm Brian.
And this is Lunchbox Reaction.
It is. Welcome back, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Yay.
Woohoo. Hopefully everyone out there is having a happy holiday season. Doing anything special on your, week and a half off?
Lots of rehearsal.
Lots of rehearsal.
Rehearsal for what?
Drumline and theater.
Winterguard.
What are you doing, Dad?
What am I doing? Working.
Wow.
I only have 2 days off since Christmas is on a Wednesday this week. I only get Tuesday and Wednesday off.
How sad.
I know.
Guess none of us get a very relaxing break.
None of us. You two sound like you get a... Oh, well, because you're...
No. I go to school basically every day this week still.
And then I have a 7-page paper I need to write at some point.
Oh, no. 7 pages on what?
A trend analysis.
What trend?
We'll have to think of it.
Oh, you have to think of a trend and then write a 7-page paper on it.
Yeah.
All right. So listeners, if you have ideas for Liam's paper, just send them in, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, should we do pop culture news first or look back at old pop culture news?
Let's look back at old pop culture news.
All right. This week's random episode that we're looking at is from May 2023, and we talked about Big Hero 6. Evan, your pop culture reference was Star Wars Visions. You were watching it.
That show.
Do you even remember that?
I do. I don't know if that was the first season or the second season.
It was the first season.
Okay. Yeah. It's still a good show. One of the better Star Wars shows that have come out recently. Star Wars Vision is basically just a Star Wars show, but it's created by a bunch of different studios. The first season was more focused on Japan, while the second season has studios from all over the world.
It'd be cool to see like a Wallace and Gromit version with like stop motion.
They did one.
Oh, did they?
In the second season. Arden made one.
Did they? Okay. Well, there you go. I guess I should try to watch it. Liam, you talked about an animated show called Haley's On It.
Oh, that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never watched that show.
I watched the first few episodes.
I don't think it didn't stand out.
It wasn't
to me that
as good
much.
As any of the other Disney shows. And they recently they randomly took it off Disney Plus.
Oh.
Probably for like a tax write off is what a lot of people thought.
Yeah, there was a big purge of lots of Disney stuff, and that was one of the shows that's gone, so no one can even see it anymore. So I was wondering.
Right after Amphibia and Owl House, and it just didn't really live up to the hype of the other two.
Sure, sure. All right. And my old pop culture news was, so I was talking about how games are starting to have these special player modes. And so the one I talked about was, there's a game called Hogwarts Legacy, where you could change the spiders into like silly looking spiders for people who are scared of spiders. I mean, I don't know if there's an update on that. I guess I haven't seen any special modes on any games that I've played lately. But
my favorite special modes that I've ever seen in a game were the ones on the Skywalker Saga Lego Star Wars game.
And what were those?
There were modes to make all the characters' voices be just like, rah, 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 rah. There were ones to make all the weapons just bread.
Okay. Why bread?
I don't know, Dad.
Okay, so pop culture news for this week.
I can go.
All right.
I was scrolling around on Netflix the other day, and I saw that with Netflix, you can play Monument Valley for free. And I also saw that Monument Valley 3 is out.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that, which is kind of interesting that you bring that up, because just in the last week or so, I've been playing the original Monument Valley over here on our PC just for the fun of it. Yeah. Kind of reliving that.
I've played the first 5 episodes of the 3rd one now. It's pretty good.
So how do you play it on Netflix?
It's just the same. You get the app for free. That's all it is.
Oh, so it's on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, I was imagining it on the TV and like, how are you going to touch the TV and tell Ida where to go?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you're playing it on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think of it so far? Is it fun?
Yeah. It reminds me more of the second game than the first game, though.
Okay. How so?
Just that there's two characters. Well, lots of characters, really. There's more of a plot line.
Mm. Okay. Does Totem Friend come back?
There is a Totem Friend, but there's kind of a unique twist to it.
Ooh. Okay. Well, now I'm really
curious.
They're
throwing in lots of cool game mechanics so far. Where, like, as you turn those, what are they called? The crank thingies. Instead of just moving stuff, like, things are unwinding and reforming other shapes.
Oh.
It's pretty cool.
I will have to check it out.
And as always, the sound ambience music that plays in the background is amazing.
Okay. I guess while I'm talking, I'll just jump in. So unless you wanted to go.
No, I'm fine.
There's a teaser trailer for the new Superman movie out now.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Why are they making another one?
Because
it's a new Superman movie. Because
it's a new Superman movie.
Superman universe.
Because the old Superman universe, the old DCEU, didn't really take off. It didn't go up and away. It just kind of went away. So
they're trying to revamp it.
So yeah, and so James Gunn has been brought in. He did Guardians of the Galaxy, lots of other movies. But yeah, he's been brought in to kind of rework the whole DC movie kind of thing. And he's starting off with sort of a back to the, people calling it, I think, the Silver Age. But the kind of more the old original Superman. James Gunn has made it very faithful to the old comic books. So like there's Crypto the Super Dog is in it. And it's not an origin story. It's like Superman after.
I noticed that in the trailer.
Yeah.
They just kind of like didn't do the origin story.
Right.
Which I liked. It's like the same thing they did with Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because, you know, pretty much everyone knows that. We've seen it a gazillion times. So, yeah, this is more of a Superman's already been around. He's, you know, what's... I guess maybe trying to find a purpose. I don't know. He's a man. He's wearing tights. Yep. And he's got a dog.
He's got underwear on the outside of his uniform.
So are they going to make lots of these DC movies and then make like a DC Avengers?
Probably.
You mean the Justice League?
Yeah. The DC Avengers. The Justice League. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I wasn't all that interested in it, but I'll admit the trailer has got me a little curious, so I might check it out when it comes out.
If it's by the person who did Guardians of the Galaxy, I would watch it, because I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, so. And I, you know, Superman was the very first superhero movie I ever saw in the theater, the one from 1978. I can remember my dad taking me to see that, and so it has a little nostalgia factor for me, I suppose. So, yeah, I might check it out. All right, Evan, your turn.
Okay. A movie that I've been looking forward to seeing eventually has come out recently. I've been watching this movie ever since it kind of started popping up in film festivals around Europe. It's called Flow, originally a Latvian movie. It has no words in it, and it was all created in the game engine, or game, like, making engine Blender. And it is about a cat who is exploring a world that got completely flooded over.
Hmm.
It's a very interesting movie, and ever since I've been watching all the trailers and seeing it win all of these many awards, it won Best Animated Feature in the European Film Awards, won a lot of film festival awards, and it's been nominated as the Latvian entry for Best International Film Feature at the Academy Awards this year. I'm really excited to watch it if I get the chance soon.
Yeah, I'd go see it with you.
Me too.
It kind of reminds me of Stray. They managed to express a lot with the animals' movements.
Other animals besides just the cat?
Yeah, basically after the world floods, the cat gets on a boat with this dog friend that it already has. And then a bird shows up. There's a capybara on the boat. There's a bunch of other animals that just kind of show up. So it's a cat and its friends exploring the flooded world.
Yeah, sounds neat. Yeah, Blender is a 3D animation modeling program. It's available on Mac, PC, probably Linux. I'm not sure, but yeah. I know I probably have it on one of the machines I'm sitting by. I think I've downloaded it. I don't remember. I know I have it at work, but yeah, it's a pretty neat program. All right. Well, there we go. That is our pop culture news for this week. Let's move on to our deep dive discussions on whatever we're going to talk about this week. Anyone want to go first?
I'll go first. This will be the kind of second entry in my weird Christmas movies entry.
Oh.
Recently, actually, all three of us sat through the movie Hot Frosty.
Oh, yeah. Hot.
Which is a movie that was released on Netflix this year, which follows a snowman coming to life, but not in the Frosty the Snowman way, in the attractive male way. And then the snowman has to bring back the Christmas spirit to the woman who put the scarf on him after her husband died of cancer.
Which was a really dark plot line. I feel like for a movie that's called Hot Frosty, like, it was more like family friendly than you'd think it would be.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do anything that bad because the snowman was like 2 days old and didn't know anything. Don't think about the implications about that. Yeah, I think it's not a bad movie per se as compared to a bunch of the other movies that we've watched, but would I want to watch it ever again? No.
I thought the blooper reel they had at the end was kind of funny.
What did you think of the romance aspect of it? Was it believable? Do you think that
maybe
she could fall in love for a random guy who sweats all the time?
Anything that's not believable, you just have to accept it as Christmas magic in movies like these.
Okay. And the scarf, the magic scarf, where do you think that came from?
Goodwill. That's what the movie says.
Do you think the scarf was magic, or was it just like her imbuing it with magic?
Who knows? Maybe the lady in charge of that store was a witch the whole time.
Well, see, I'm just trying to dig deeper here. I'm trying to get to the underpinnings of this movie.
Of Hot Frosty.
What's the science of Hot Frosty?
You know, because in the Frosty the Snowman, it was a magician's magic hat. Well, here it's just a scarf. Like, well, what's the story of the scarf? Was it knit by Agatha all along? Or, you know, what?
Which is kind of rude that Kathy was just given this scarf and then she immediately gave it away.
Yeah, no, she's not like a nice person, really.
Oh, the main character? Yeah. The lady? She's not nice?
Also, the cops were weird the whole movie.
Yeah, the cop plotline was kind of hilarious.
They just kind of showed up every now and then and were like, oh, we're evil.
Yeah.
And we want to kill this snowman.
The one guy was kind of nice. The main cop, I don't know, the sheriff, he was, I don't know, he was just trying to play it over the top, I guess. And I guess that's what it was, because it was pretty over the top. I didn't find it all that believable.
I feel like in movies like this, like, it's more common that you'd see the plot being like, oh no, we have to find a way to make you not melt. Let's find out why you're here and what we can do. But they're just like, oh no, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
Like the entire movie.
Yeah. Nobody cared about, even the town doctor didn't care about how the anatomy of a human snowman would work. This is a living, breathing person who cannot be over 32 degrees.
When watching it, were there any surprises in this movie, or was it pretty much a foregone conclusion that he would turn human at the end?
Well, that was obvious, because it's a romance movie, and he's not a real boy yet.
So there's no surprises.
I found the surprise to be just this sudden, just like, oh yeah, my husband died of cancer, and I've been in disrepair ever since.
Sure.
I was surprised when, like, I was expecting when I heard that this movie is about a snowman coming to life for, like, it should just be a normal-looking snowman. But then when she goes into the park and she's looking at all these snowmen, I'm like, okay, so which one's going to come to life? And it's this, like, this realistic snow sculpture of, like, just some guy. And I'm like, well, they chose, like, the most boring thing to come to life.
Also, who is that guy? Because that's probably, you can't just make a snowman guy with no idea.
Who made the sculpture?
Who made the sculpture?
Are they
who
not
is the man?
Concerned that their sculpture has come to life?
Why didn't you put it on any of the other snow sculptures? Those ones look cooler than the guy.
Sure. So many questions. So little time. It would have been harder to bring some of those other sculptures to life, I think. I can't remember what they were. I remember they were...
There were two snowmen, regular snowmen, ones next to that guy. There was a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, a dinosaur coming to life. That would have been kind of cool. It could have been like a Barney crossover.
Hot dino.
Hot dino. Ice age.
Hot Barney.
Oh, no. Let's not go there.
Trying to think. There was no musical numbers, was it? It's not a musical. No.
There was kind of a musical number.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, at the end?
When the sheriff...
At the outtakes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but I guess it was a musical number. He played a synth and he sung.
I think in general I did enjoy this movie, but it wasn't because of the plot or the story. I just could tell how much fun the actors were having. And I think, I don't know, it made me enjoy it more.
It did seem like they were having fun. I mean, it was nice to see, so the guy playing the snowman, he was on, spacing out now, Schitt's Creek. Yeah. I mean, if I hadn't known that, I don't know. He didn't look the same to me. I guess because on Schitt's Creek, he was so short hair and, you know, groomed very well. Here, he's just like this long haired hippie. and he must have been working out like for half a year because he was just like ripped.
He's a little too ripped.
Yeah. Yeah. I never would have realized that was him unless I had looked him up. That was just crazy. Sign of a good actor, I guess, if you can't recognize them from role to role. I didn't recognize anyone else, though. Well, the sheriff, I think, I don't know, is he like a stand-up comedian or something?
Maybe. He was a sheriff.
All right, rating?
Rating for Hot Frosty?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 4.5 out of 10.
Ooh, okay.
It's not so bad, it's good. It's just kind of so medium, it's below medium.
I'd probably give it a 4.5 too.
Mm. All right. Yeah, I mean, I'd probably give it a 5 out of 10. It's fine. It's average. Nothing special. Okay. So, one down. What are you going to talk about, Liam? Or do you want me to go first?
Now, Netflix has released the 7th season of a show called The Dragon Prince, which is a show that I watched the first 6 seasons of, so I thought I'd just review the whole first 6 seasons.
Really? I didn't know that you watched that.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching that.
Well, I remember that. I feel like I have memories that we all watched. Like,
yeah,
maybe
we started watching it way back
when. I think
we
made
when.
It through the first season, at least.
And then, like, a couple months ago, the 6th season came out, and so I just watched all 4 seasons all at once that I hadn't watched before, and I have yet to watch the 7th one. But I thought I'd review what I know I've watched before.
Aren't there like spin-off series of it now?
I don't think so.
I thought there were.
Well, there's a spin-off graphic novel. That's not really a spin-off. It's canon. A lot of people were annoyed because there's this canon graphic novel that takes place between this time skip in the series. And like, the series doesn't tell you to go read the graphic novel, but then when the time skip happens, you're expected to know what happened in the graphic novel. So that's a little confusing.
That's not good.
No.
Okay, so before you get into it, here's my question. When do you have time to watch this? Because you're always doing homework. Are you watching this while you're doing your homework?
Well, this was like months ago, back before I didn't have homework.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been watching anything recently.
Okay. Well, you watched a bit of Arcane with me.
Yeah, while I was doing homework.
Yeah, we were both doing homework, though, so.
Yeah, the last thing I watched was Arcane, which was over Thanksgiving break, when I probably should have been doing homework, but oh well.
Okay, so on your review. So you're reviewing all 7 seasons then?
I guess. Maybe I'll just review the first 3 seasons.
Okay.
Because in my opinion, the first three seasons were like the height of the show. It was really good. It has a similar vibe to Avatar The Last Airbender. In fact, one of the creators of Avatar The Last Airbender is like one of the main producers of this show. So you can see a lot of parallels.
Also, one of the voice actors for a main character in Avatar The Last Airbender is like the main character in this show.
You have Sokka's voice actor. You also have Zuko's voice actor, who only very recently came in. I feel like it's almost a little too similar to Avatar at some point, but it's still really good. You have like the trope of the kind of three main characters, two of whom are siblings, going on a quest to save the world from this war between two warring factories.
What is the main like plot of the show?
So there's Zadia, which is the land of magic. There's elves and dragons, and I think that might be it. But there's lots of magic there. And then there's the human kingdoms, and they're basically just at war because humans want to use magic for like dark magic and power and whatever.
Okay. So what's the conflict? What's the
conflict is that a long time ago humans like they stole the dragon prince, which like there's this dragon king and queen who kind of rule over Zadia, and humans stole their egg, like their only child. So now they're just left without an heir. But everyone in Zadia thinks the humans killed the dragon egg, so they're like, ah, we have to make them pay. And so then basically all these assassins come to try to kill the human prince, which is one of the main characters. But then one of the assassins finds that this egg is still here, which means that this war is happening for no reason. If they can just like return the egg and there'll be peace. So the three main characters, like the two princes and this assassin, are going on this quest to return the egg and make there be peace again, which is a lot more, it ends up being a lot more complicated than just that though.
So, okay, so I'm confused. This egg is a dragon egg?
Yeah.
And so the characters are dragons? Or
no, the rulers of Zadia, like the elf magic kingdom, are dragons.
Okay.
They're like talking sentient dragons.
And they can't have any other eggs? There's only one?
No, because the king died.
Oh. Okay. I'm just trying to understand here.
There's a lot going on.
Okay.
It's like Lord of the Rings, but for
not
younger children.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, yeah, a lot of people like advertise this show as like Game of Thrones, but for the whole family. And I don't know if it's quite that, because there's not, the characters die, sure, but it's all like side characters who you don't really care about. And like the show, you know it's going to have a happy ending. It just has that kind of vibe. But I do think the first three seasons of the show are like amazing.
What makes them amazing?
Probably just the main three characters. They have really good chemistry together, and they go through their own little character arcs.
How hard is returning an egg? Apparently pretty hard if it's seven seasons.
Well, the first three are about returning the egg.
Oh, okay.
But then things kind of go wrong.
Oh.
And so there's a time skip that's 4 years later where they're doing other stuff and trying to like end the war still. And these seasons are like really fast paced, so you can go through a whole like 10 episode first season that only takes place over like 3 days.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very bingeable show, because the whole first three seasons like I have to feel like they're only like a week or two.
A week or two in show time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's 10 episodes in a season?
Yeah, about that.
And how long is each episode?
20 something minutes.
Oh, okay.
Pretty short. And this, the animation style for the show is also pretty cool, because it's like one of those hybrid 2D, 3D mixes. The frames per second rate is a little bit slower, which I feel like it works. It looks cool.
You save on animation costs then. You don't have to,
yeah.
Don't have to make as many frames. Why make 30 when you can make 25? You know, there you go.
Yeah.
Music? So they have good music?
Yeah. I wouldn't say the music's like amazing, but it's definitely, you can definitely notice it and hear it. You can recognize the little motifs that happen.
And it must be doing pretty well if it's on seven seasons.
Yeah.
Are there going to be more, or is it done now?
I believe there's going to be an eighth season, and that'll be it.
And this is done by Netflix?
Yeah.
Should you watch this, or should you watch Arcane, if you had to choose?
I guess it depends on your age.
Arcane being another really popular animated Netflix show right now.
I don't think it's quite as high quality as Arcane, but it's pretty good.
So what age would you say this is aimed for?
I'd say probably for like late elementary schoolers or middle schoolers. But I watch it too because, I don't know, I like children's entertainment.
That's fine. I mean, we talk about stuff like that. I mean, just because something is aimed at kids doesn't mean adults can't enjoy it or older people can't enjoy
like
it.
Like Bluey.
Like Bluey, yeah.
Her Phineas and Ferb.
All right, anything else you want to say about it?
That pretty much wraps up my thoughts.
That wraps up your thoughts. And this is just the first three seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can talk about the next season some other time.
Sure.
Okay. And would you give it a rating?
For the first three seasons, I'd give it like an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. Nice. The first three seasons are kind of a self-contained story then, it sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess that leaves me. So a lot of times around Christmas, people tell ghost stories.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about one of my favorite things again, which is Lockwood & Co.
Oh. Is there an update?
No, I'm going to talk about the books.
Oh.
So a while ago, we all watched the TV show that was on Netflix and talked about it. But it kind of ended. I don't want to say a cliffhanger, but it ended with the TV show ended with sort of a let's go see what's behind this mysterious door, and then that was it. And then they didn't renew it, and I'm still pissed off about that. But luckily for me, there were three more books in the series. So the TV series was just the first two books, and then there's five books total. And since then, I have read all five books, and I gotta say, I love them. They are great.
You read the first two also?
I did. Yes, I read the first two. So, yeah, the five books in the series are The Screaming Staircase, The Whispering Skull, The Hollow Boy, The Creeping Shadow, and The Empty Grave. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so these are books, I'd say they're aimed at, middle school, maybe? Yeah, but I mean, anyone can read them. I enjoyed them. I think they're great. The characters are awesome. First off, I'm going to say that having read the first two books and then having seen the TV show, it's a very, very faithful adaptation. There are some changes, and I know that the author was actually involved in the making of the TV show, so I think he had a lot of input on that, so it's not like that bothers me. In fact, not really many of the changes bother me at all. I think one of the biggest changes between the TV show and the books is the character of George. So there's three main characters. There's Lockwood, there's Lucy, and there's George. And in the books, George is I'm just going to say it. He's like this pudgy white boy. I mean, there's all this stuff about how he's kind of overweight and he's always wearing oversized clothes and he's kind of very unkempt, but he's super, super smart, right? And in the TV show, they changed his character. He's actually of Iranian descent, the actor that plays him. So they changed it up a bit. So in my head, when I've been reading the books, I see Lockwood and Lucy as the characters they were in the TV show. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's pretty easy to separate the Georges. Like I don't imagine one or the other. I can see the difference, and that doesn't bother me. So I think it's a very faithful adaptation. But I'm going to say the books are really cool because you get to go a lot more in depth. The books are all told from Lucy's point of view, and it's cool being in that point of view because, like in the TV show, you get the idea that ghosts are scary, but when you're seeing it when you're reading about it in first person, she can really describe like what she's feeling and how there's this dread. And so it really brings out sort of the more the scary quality of trying to fight these ghosts, which I found a lot of fun. I'm going to say, the series as a whole, I think is really great. Of all the books, I rated the first two 5 stars each. And this on Goodreads where you can go and rate your books, right? So the third book, I mean, it was still a really good story, but I don't think it was up to par with the first two. So I actually only gave that one 3 stars. It it advanced the story. And in that book, we got to meet a new main character who begins in that book and then is in the rest of the books. But I don't know, it just didn't, it felt a little flat for me. So I only gave that one 3 stars. But then the fourth and fifth book, they just kicked it up a notch and the story just really got kind of a rip-roaring mystery and trying to solve what's going on. And so those each I gave 5 stars on Goodreads, 5 out of 5. So the books as a whole, I think it tells a great story. The nice thing about the books, of course, is that we're not left hanging. I mean, it tells pretty much what is going on. Like, for example, there's this thing called The Problem, which is the ghosts appearing, and it's been happening for 50 years. And I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm going to say that things get resolved. We find out, we kind of find out what's going on and why it's happening. And we learn, just stuff that's been hinted at. Like even in book one, you can tell that the author, Jonathan Stroud, knew what he was doing because there are hints of things that we see way back in book one that lead to, you know, this eventual realization of what's going on and things that are happening. And yeah, and it kind of makes me want to go back and reread certain things now knowing some stuff. And they included some of this in the TV show too. I've been rewatching some of the series after reading the books, and I've been looking for these things like, oh yeah, yeah, I can see where that's going. And that was kind of hidden there, and now I know why it's there. And so it's fun. So another thing I want to mention is, so the characters, they do evolve, they grow. There's interpersonal conflicts. In fact, Lucy has quite a bit of conflict with this new character that's introduced in book 3 that you two haven't met. And, but that kind of gets resolved resolved as much as it can, which is nice because it shows kind of real relationships, and it's a good way to work through, like interpersonal dynamics between a group. I will say though, and I don't know, this might be a little bit of a spoiler, but so in the TV show, you'll remember that there's this skull that you see in a jar. And I think the skull is actually one of my favorite characters. You can tell that the author just had so much fun writing this skull. The skull is always just wisecracking, making fun of pretty much everyone and everything, putting people down, just talking about how much it wants to get out of the jar and kill people because it's a ghost. I mean, that's kind of what it wants to do, right? And of course, Lucy is the only one who hears it, so she's always having to interpret. And people are asking her, well, what's it saying? And she doesn't want to pass along all this stuff. And it's kind of a rip-roaring riot. But at the same time, again, without too many spoilers, I mean, the skull just becomes a really cool character. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. The series is great. One thing I was thinking about is, so it's a 5-book series, and they adapted the first 2 into an 8-episode Netflix show. And I was kind of wondering if it had kept up, how would they have adapted the next 3 books? Because, like, if they took the next 2 books and made it into the second season, then what would have happened to the last book? Like, would they have made a whole season of itself? I don't know. It's just, in my head, it's kind of weird. Like, like they might split book 4, maybe. There's sort of a part I could see where maybe they could split it, like, about 3/4 of the way through book 4. There's kind of a main action scene, sort of something that happens where I think they could almost end it there and leave it kind of a cliffhanger and then maybe continue on, you know, with a 3rd season if they had done a show. But it was kind of weird the way they adapted the first 2 books. It just makes me think, well, how would they have done it if they had? But of course we don't get that because Netflix canceled it. But at least we have these books and they're a lot of fun. So anyway, yeah, I think I will leave it at that. We had some audio quality with me recording this review. So this is actually the second time I've recorded this, which is kind of annoying because I'm sure I've forgotten half the stuff I said in the first time I went through it. Yeah, so, you know, the wonders of computers and memory and whatnot. But anyway, yeah, I really love this series. I would highly recommend all five books. They're just phenomenal reading. They're phenomenal fun. They're fun. They're spooky. And yeah, I'm definitely going to read them again sometime. And I would highly recommend them if you're into ghost stories, if you're into like a good middle school mystery kind of thing. Yeah, check these out. So the Lockwood & Co. series by Jonathan Stroud. Yeah, check it out. And yeah, so I guess now we'll move on to fortune cookies.
I have learned to let go of control in certain situations.
My fortune is, if you wait too long for the perfect moment will pass you by.
Be cautious while walking in darkness alone.
Yeah, that seems valid.
For you may stub your toe.
No!
That happened to me the other day at night. I stubbed my toe on the vacuum cleaner and I got scared and fell over.
Oh no.
The other day at night.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for checking out this episode of Lunchbox Reaction. We hope you're having a great holiday season, whatever you celebrate. And, yeah. Find us online at lunchboxreaction.net. You can find us on Blue Sky, Lunchbox Reaction. I think I've posted once or twice. And, yeah. So, until next month, I've been Brian.
I've been Liam.
I've been Evan.
And we'll see you all next time.
Next month.
Next month.
At the lunch table. So long.
So long.
So long.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.